So I want you to think about the word love. Think about how you use the word love on a daily basis. Now, I love Jesus. I love Tisa. I love Aubrey. I love my dog, Lily. I love serving at Heritage. I love my family. I love the Chicago Cubs. I love steak. I love music. Sometimes we may even say we love a person, but we don't even know them. As English speakers, we use the same word to express our affection for God that we use to express our enjoyment of activities and things. And as you open presents on Christmas, you may say something like, "I love it! Thank you!" Social media is even filled with features to express our love of something. We love posts, pictures, and videos. People today seem to love so much, yet they truly love so little. Because of this, our tendency is to project our own understanding and our own experience of love onto God. And some of us are just scared to love God because we have such a limited view of love. If we spoke the language of the New Testament, we would discover that there are actually four different words for love. The first word is eros. Now, this is the sexual love, the physical love that exists between a husband and wife. The second word is philia. This is the love of brotherly concern and friendship. Then there is storge. Now, storge is the bond of familiarity. The more you are around something or someone, you create this bond. You have storge for it. You know that favorite shirt or that pair of jeans that you've had for years? The love that you have for it is storge. It's been a part of your life for years, so it's hard to let it go. When I say that I love the Chicago Cubs, I'm really saying that I have storge for them. They've been a part of my life for 3 decades. When I say I love steak, I storge it. It would do 21st century American culture good if we had other words to use to express our attachment and our familiarity with something or someone than using the word love. If we did, love wouldn't be so overused. And then there's agape. Now, this is God's love. In the Old Testament, it is called chesed. This is the loving kindness of God that never gives up and never fails, that is ever faithful. Agape is benevolent affection. It is the highest affection that puts the good of the other person ahead of themselves. God's love is a feeling and an action. They motivate the other. The affection motivates the benevolence, and the benevolence motivates the affection. Agape unleashes affection and benevolence for the other person with no regard for self. And this is the love that Jesus demonstrated in coming to earth and taking on human flesh. And as we read out of our text this morning, each time we read the word love, it is agape. So let's get to our text. We're in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verse 7 to 21. And here's what John says. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love Because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. First John shows us the superiority of agape. Most of us have experienced some other words for love, and all of these fall short of agape. God's love is the first action. It causes all that we read in our text. It is the cause of love for others. It is the motive of life and security in Jesus. And it is our mission to the people that God puts into our lives. You do not exist for yourself, church. You do not exist to amass presents and to have fun experiences throughout life. You exist to experience agape and to show agape to others. I hope and pray that God will convince you of this truth throughout the morning. You ever wonder why something always seems off in your life? It just doesn't seem to click sometimes. It may be that you are not experiencing agape, or that you have never experienced agape. And since you haven't experienced agape, you cannot show it to others. The third truth that we will unwrap in our series is theos agapon humen. God loves you. Not just any love, but agape. Eros, philia, storge will all fall short. But agape is eternal. Agape is meant to satisfy your soul in a way that the other three loves cannot. Love for spouse, family, gifts, food, they will all fall flat. God's love is constant. And God calls the Christ follower to agape, to love others with his selfless, faithful, never-ending love. So our proposition this morning is love for God is demonstrated by how the Christian loves people. If you were to ask a Christian if they love people, they'd say, of course I do. But if we were to go deeper into that love, just dig deep, I fear that the love that they have would either be philia or it would be storge. God calls the Christ follower to have agape for people. God doesn't call me to love people the way that I love the Chicago Cubs or the way that I love steak. He calls me to demonstrate agape, Jesus' love for people. And there's no way that I can do this unless I have first experienced Jesus' love in my heart. So as we inch closer to Christmas, you have to ask yourself, what do I need most this Christmas? And then ask yourself this question. What do the people in my life need most this Christmas? And the answer is agape. We must experience God's love. Agape is our deepest need. And after experiencing agape, it must be our mission to show it to others. So our first point this morning is that authentic love for people is founded on authentic love for God. The existence of agape between God and the Christian is the foundation for the Christian's agape for people. In verse 7, John says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. John commands us to love one another. John calls the readers beloved. Now, this is just another form of agape. So John is basically saying, those of us who have experienced agape must show agape to one another. So here's what we learn. We demonstrate love for people in relationship to the love that we have experienced first from God himself. There's a parallel between the love I experience with God and the love that I show to others. In the rest of verse 7, John tells us why. Agape comes from God. Agape does not come from a spouse or from a friend. Agape is unique to Jesus. It cannot be found in people who do not know Jesus. Yes, people can display eros and philia and storge, but only the Christ follower can display agape to the world. And the reason for this is verse 8. John says, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So John says, if you don't know agape, if you don't display agape, you don't truly know God. Our measure of knowing God is the measure in which we show agape to others. This is God's plan for humanity, This is why Jesus died, was resurrected, and ascended to the right hand of God. And this is why the Holy Spirit is sealed in our hearts. We are to show people God's agape. In verse 9, it says, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." This is why Jesus was born. Through Jesus, agape was manifested. It was shown. God sent Jesus so that we could live through him. This means that the fullest, most meaningful aspects of life cannot be found in eros, philia, or storge. It is only found in agape. And we live through him by showing the agape that we have experienced to people. Verse 10 shows us that we must embrace this love. In verse 10 it says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Agape starts with God. Agape does not start with humanity. We are not pre-wired to selfless, benevolent affection for God or people. Jesus' agape changes the Christian. It enables us to have agape for God and for people. And the defining element of Jesus' agape for us was that he was propitiation for our sins. The Greek word for propitiation means that Jesus atoned for our sins by substituting himself in our place. This is agape in action. This is the love of God. Agape sacrifices itself for the other with no regard to how it will impact them. This is how God loves us. This is how we must love people. John's conclusion about the love of Jesus comes in verse 11. And it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." John is saying, since God so loves us, we must love people the same way. Our love for people must be founded on agape, not eros, not philia, not storge. If you aren't showing agape to people, there are potentially two reasons for this. The first reason is that you may not have experienced agape from God yet. You're still holding on to your own perceptions and your own experiences of love instead of embracing God's love for you in Jesus. You come to church, perhaps out of obligation, maybe out of tradition, but there is nothing going on emotionally or spiritually when you're here. You sit, you may sing a couple songs, you say hello to the people around you, but you haven't let agape renew you. Or you think that you're a Christian. At some points in your past, you experience and you embrace the intellectual claims of the gospel, but you don't have a real relationship with Jesus. You don't pursue Jesus in your daily life. You are like a man who marries his bride, but then continues to live as if he is not married. You too may have never truly experienced agape. You don't know what it feels like to have the death and the sacrifice of Jesus change your heart. And this is why you can't show agape for others. In verse 12, we see what is at stake in experiencing and showing agape. Verse 12 says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." John's original audience and us today have never seen God. God is spirit, God is immaterial, and in Jesus, God took on flesh. God became visible. But that was almost 2,000 years ago. So the question is, how do people today see Jesus? How do people today learn what Jesus is like? It's through us, the Christ follower. If we love one another, if we show agape to one another, God abides in us. The Greek word for abide means to take residence, to make something your home. Agape shows that God has made his home in you. If you are not showing agape, then that may mean that God has not yet made his home in you. You may not truly be a Christian. If he has, then agape will be perfected in us. And the Greek word for perfected means to be finished or completed. God's love will be finished and completed in us when we show agape to people. So how do we know if God abides in us? Verse 13 tells us. It says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. It's because of the Holy Spirit. This is why election is essential. Election motivates adoption. Adoption motivates redemption. And redemption results in the sealing of the Christian, the adopted child of God, with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the sign of God's residence in us. At redemption, God took residence in you. So your heart is a symbolic manger. Your body is a symbolic Bethlehem. No redemption, no residence. No Jesus, no agape. And this is why John wraps up his thought in verse 14 by saying that we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John wants us as his readers to know that people have seen and can testify that Jesus is the Savior of the world. John was a witness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. John is proof that Jesus is Savior. And John wants his audience to know that Jesus is for the world. Jesus isn't merely this new God for the Jews, the fulfillment of Judaism. He is a God for all kinds of people. He has agape from people from all backgrounds and ethnicities. So let's make some connections here at Christmas. God has agape for you. You are truly loved. This is better than the love of a spouse, the love of a parent, the love of a child. It is better than the love of a friend or the love for all your toys and gadgets. Agape is never-ending. It is benevolent. It is selfless. It sacrifices for the good of the person with no thought for how it will benefit them. Your heart may be broken because you love someone, but it isn't mutual. I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to love someone fiercely, and they could care less. They say they love you, but it's like they're saying it because they have to. And Jesus knows how this feels infinitely more than we do. Jesus' love gives and gives and gives, and to death on the cross and beyond. And we must experience and show this agape to others this Christmas. I know that it is hard to love people who could care less about you. And so does Jesus. But this is a sign that Jesus lives in you through the Holy Spirit. And this is our next point. Our next point is that authentic love is the proof of God's passion for people. When a person becomes a Christ follower, God makes his home in them. In verse 15, it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. The Christ follower also takes residence in God. This shows the link between redemption and adoption. The Christian has been adopted into the family of God. And verse 16 is an extension of this. It says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. John has come to know and believe in God's love for people. He experienced it with Jesus. John saw Jesus die on the cross to redeem people. And this is why John can connect agape with God making his home in the Christian. God makes his home in us so that we can become more like Jesus. And this is how we show agape to others. In verse 17, it says, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. This is how agape is perfected and completed in us. Agape must be completed in us because of God's future judgments. At the judgment, Jesus will judge how we have shown agape to people. If we have showed agape, this means that God has had his way with us. And the last phrase in verse 17 reinforces the point. When John says, as he is, so also are we in this world, John is saying that we are meant to show people what God is like. We are the proof of his love. God is agape. We are adopted children of God, so we must be agape. And we see the superiority of agape in verse 18. It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. So there's no fear in agape. There is fear in the other kinds of love. There is fear in eros. What happens when the desires wane? Those desires go away. Will the person stick around? There's fear in philia. This person hangs out with me. He's my boy now, but will he really be there for me when it gets rough? There's fear in storge. I love my iPhone, but what if the next iPhone offers me something better? What am I going to do? There's no fear in agape. Why? Because agape casts out fear. Agape makes the person secure in Jesus. And John says that fear involves punishment. If love is based only on eros, the person may leave for a better feeling. If I don't perform, they will leave me, and that's my punishment. If love is based only on philia, another brother, another friend may come along. If love is based only on storge, you may find something else to be attached to. I used to love New York strips, but now it's all about filet. There's always a consequence in basing love only on these three things. There's no punishment for basing love on agape. If fear defines your love, then it is a sign that it hasn't been shaped by agape. And agape is rooted in God alone. In verse 19, it simply says, we love because he first loved us. God had agape first. This is why election is so important. The love of God and love for God did not start with us. Agape began in the heart of God from eternity past. And we have agape because God first had agape for himself and for us. God's agape is the motive for our agape. And one of the things that I love about church family is that we get to practice this with one another. Church family is the crucible for us to practice agape. I show agape to my church family as practice for showing it to people out in the world. We show agape to one another because God showed it to us first in Jesus. And verses 20 to 21 shifts towards application for us. Agape is the proof of God's passion for people. In our final two verses, it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. John is bold in our final verses. Hate and agape cannot exist in the hearts of the Christ follower. You are lying to God and you are lying to yourself if you say you have agape for God, but hatred in your heart for your brother. Now by brother, John just means people. He doesn't mean literal brothers. And the Greek word for liar means a falsifier, a manipulator. Agape cannot be a present reality in a person if they hate their brother. Agape doesn't manipulate to get what they want. It selflessly gives and gives regardless of what happens to them. John then gives us a principle for our relationships. If you cannot show agape to someone you can see, you cannot show agape to God whom you cannot see. If you have never truly experienced God, you cannot show agape to people. And this is John's commandment. In the gospel, Jesus commands us to love God and love people with all that we are. Now we know that this kind of love is agape. Our agape for people shows them what God's love is like. So the question is, as we wrap up, how is your love for people? What is your love based on? How is your love for spouse, family, church family, friends, coworkers? My love shows that agape has not yet been perfected in me. I still see selfishness in my love for people. So what about you? Does your love put the person before yourself? Or do you seek your interests, your own priorities before people? As a Christ follower, it is our mission to experience agape and to show it to others. We are truly loved, and people cannot see God, but they see God by how the Christian loves them. And agape is what people need most this Christmas.